Blog Talk Radio.
This song says, God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunt anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and His grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me.
Down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank Him. Just thank Him.
I almost let go.
by Kurt Carl, and I Need a Little More Jesus by Erica Campbell. And I just want to praise God and say good evening to each and every one that's joining with me on tonight. I'm Prophet Shirley Kane with Win the Walk to Jesus Ministry, the ministry that helps the lost and the hopeless to find their way to Jesus. And I just want to say hello to you all that's on the phone line and the person that's in the chat room. I'm just so glad that you were able to tune in and join in and see what the Lord has put together and what he has given me to speak to you tonight. And I'm just so grateful for you that has joined me on tonight. And I speak blessings over each one of you, that you will receive the blessings of love, peace, good health, and prosperity. And I just want you to know that I really, really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, because, you know, a lot of times people don't have time for God unless something significant is going on in their lives. And then they start looking for God, or they start searching for a word that will give them comfort, that will give them peace, or even give them an answer. So anytime you press your way, know that God is pressing his way to release a blessing to you. And I just want to encourage your hearts on tonight. And I want you to know that there are so many questions, so many concerns that we have as we look at the way of the world, all the killing, the crime, the burglary. And it used to be crimes would be committed at dark, at nighttime. But it don't happen that way anymore. And in spite of all of that, I just want to encourage you, don't lose heart, because I just want you to know, when man has counted you out, when friends have turned their back on you, when the doctors say it don't look good, when you don't know where your next meal is coming from, when you just feel like giving up, and all you can see is impossibilities. And I'm here to tell you to trust in God, because he sees and he knows. He knows. And you got to believe in God. All things are possible. And sometimes we just have to turn it over to God. And when you turn it over to God, you got to turn it all over to God, even the broken pieces. You got to turn them all over to God, because he can piece it back together. He can fix anything. Jesus is a fixer. I don't care what nobody says, because I know he fixed me, because I couldn't be sitting here right now doing what I'm doing if it hadn't been for Jesus fixing me. So I just want to encourage you tonight to keep believing, keep trusting, and keep pressing for your dreams. Because I want you to know, no matter what your dream is, and no matter what obstacles coming your way, whatever problems you encounter, God will fix all of that. And he will not let your blessings, your dream, or anything that's for you hinder your blessings. I just want you to know tonight that God is bigger than any situation, any problem. He's bigger than any bad man, whatever they are. God is bigger. And I thank God for me sharing that word with you and encouraging you, because we need to be encouraged. There's so much going on. You hear so much negativity tell you, you just need to be encouraged. And I just hope that I encourage you with that opening statement in this word on tonight. And so I want to play two more songs, and then we're going to get into the word.
One, two, three.
All right, let's go. Sunday best, where you at? Put your hands up. Come on, here we go. I could have been left sleeping in my grave, but you said no, wouldn't have it that way. Give me a second chance, and I thank you for that. The devil tried to get me, but you had my back. Lord, you got your life up just for me. You caused the length to walk and the blunt to see. Could have gave up any day, but you didn't. So all I got to say is da 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 da. Come on, everybody, put your hands together. Yeah.
Amazing Grace, and the song before Rance Allen was Amber Ballas, Lord, You've Been Good to Me. All right, we're going to get into the Word, but before I get into the Word, I just want to have, excuse me, a word of prayer, and I thank God for each of you that you are allowing me to minister the Word to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the moment of exploring your Word on today. Father, I ask that you set the atmosphere. Decrease me and increase you in this Word. And Lord, we pray your Word will penetrate our spirits, and we counsel the devil's plans and his plots right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that the Word will go forth and penetrate our hearts, that we may examine ourselves and change our attitude, that we not only be hearers but doers of the Word of God. Lord, I pray we will be open-minded to this Word on tonight, even if we see ourselves in it. Lord, set us free from any conviction we may feel, and deliver us and make us whole. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen, amen, amen. Our scripture reading is going to come from the book of James, 3rd chapter, the 5th through the 10th verse. And this is from the New King James Version. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and set on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil and is full of deadly poison. And when we can bless our God and Father, and when we can curse men who have been made in the likeness of God, of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. And what I want to talk about tonight, the destruction of untamed tongues. The destruction of untamed tongues. Now, you realize that each of us go through life with a remarkable power right up under our nose. It's a power so great that it is capable of producing life or death, depending on how we use it. And I remember when I was younger, people would speak things, and they would say things. And most of the time, it was negative things. Things like, you ain't gonna never be nothing. Your mama ain't no good. And that's why, you know, you a runaway child. And that's why you ain't got nobody raised you. That's why you ain't gonna be nothing. But see, the Bible tells us that our words are so powerful that they can bless or they can curse, they can encourage or they can discourage, it can hurt or it can heal, it can tear down or it can build up. And our words can even influence the way we act and feel, as well as determining our attitude and the outlook on life. Because all of those things that I talked about earlier that was said to me, it had an impact on me. It determined my future because I was fed that and I started believing that. And I believed that for a long time until I came to know Jesus. And Jesus told me that I was greater and better than that that had been spoken on me. And Jesus helped me to understand who I was. People try to pinpoint me to make me think I was somebody different than who God created me to be. And that happens a lot right now today. Even our children in school, we have to be careful of what's being spoken over them. That's why when your child comes home, statement that the teacher said, you're supposed to burn that up right then and there. You're supposed to cast that out and curse that curse of spoken words. Because the powerful weapon tongue and its ammunition is in the words that are spoken. The Bible tells us, as I read in the scripture, verse 8 and 9, it said, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And when it, we bless our God and Father, and when it, we curse men who have been made in the image of God. And yes, the Bible says that nobody can tame the tongue. However, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you and I can be saved from the destructive power of our own words. We can purposely order our conversation and speak carefully chosen words of God that will not only produce victory in our own life, but in the lives of others as well. When we read Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I want to use an example of how words can bring forth death and destruction. In the book of Mark 11, chapter 13 through the 14th verse, Jesus saw a fig tree. And he saw the fig tree having leaves, but when he came, he didn't find nothing on it. And he found nothing but the leaves. Wasn't no figs on the tree. So Jesus felt that was no use. It was useless. So Jesus said to the fig tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples, they passed by the tree the next day and they saw a fig tree dried up from the root. That's why it's important for us to speak life into people. Like the example of John 11, when Jesus called Lazarus from the grave. We can call for those dead in sin, and lost in darkness, to be resurrected through Jesus Christ by speaking life to them. They may look like a bum. You probably would think in your mind they're a bum, but do that give you a right to call them a bum? You're supposed to uplift people, not tear them down. And so many of us do it, and sometimes it's unconsciously, and sometimes it's consciously being said to people because people are evil. The tongue is an evil, unruly thing. And we can see from these examples how powerful our word can be. But it's our privilege and responsibilities as Christians to speak for positive, life-giving words in a world immersed in negativity. Proverbs 12 and 25 say, heaviness in the heart of man making it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. Then Proverbs 16 and 24 says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bone. Now, what I want to talk about is being a prophet of our own life. And many of you don't know that you are prophets of your own life. The words that come out of your mouth have control over your life, whether we like it or not, or whether we believe it or not. What comes out of our mouth will determine our future. Just like a rudder controls the direction of a ship, your tongue controls the direction of your life. God made man to be a steward, not only on the earth, but over his own mouth as well. We are our own prophets. What we say today impacts our tomorrow. Someone may speak something negative over you. You may tell someone, oh, I got this job, and I got this interview for this job, and I'm going tomorrow for my interview. And someone may speak, I hope she don't hear that. But see, what they don't realize, even though they have spoke that and released it in the atmosphere, God can cut asunder and he can still bless you to get that job. Because people will do that because they are jealous, they are evil, and their tongue is unruly and out of control. And the thing is, if you hear someone say something negative over your life, you continue to speak the positive over and over. You give life to what you want in your life, what you desire. And if you continue to say it, then you begin to believe it. You and I are where we are right now as a result of the words we spoke yesterday and the day before, which manifest in existence. That is the simple way God created us. And like God, our words carry power. God has given us authority. The words we speak day after day carry the same degree of force behind them as the words God himself speaks. That is how this universe came to be in existence. And Luke 21 and 33 say, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. God promised us that his word shall not return void. When we read in the gospel, we will notice that everything surrounding Jesus' entire life, his birth, his ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection, was a direct fulfillment of what God's prophets had spoken. God had set everything in place for the birth of Jesus. And it had been for, if it hadn't have been for a few men speaking under the anointing of God, it never would have happened. You see, God, he explains it to us in his word. Just as God himself spoke the world into existence, we are believers in Christ Jesus who speak forth our future. In order for you to possess healing or anything from God, we must first believe the word that we speak. We lay hold of the word by receiving it by faith and then confessing it. That's the process that got us saved, and it's the process that will enable us to receive the blessing that God has promised us in his word. Because the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 and 17 to arm ourselves with the word of the Spirit, which is the word, the sword of the Spirit, excuse me, which is the word of God. We must take up the sword of the Spirit and use it as our foundation based on which we operate our mind. And as we go through life, we will have several decisions to make. We must rely on God's word when making those decisions. Because Jesus had told his disciples, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God's word is a compass that will guide us into making the right decision. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's word is victory. So believe the word, pray the word, meditate on the word, and speak the word. And for sure, we must confess the word. Hebrews 10 and 23 say, let us hold fast the profession, which is the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. If we say that word, we can't try to figure out if that's the right word, or if the word is true, or if the word don't work. We got to say that word without wavering, without doubting, without not believing. We got to have understanding of who God is. We got to know that he's faithful, and we got to trust him. You see, our confession is our profession. Just as a doctor would be termed a professional in his field, we as Christians should strive to be professional believers. A Christian faith in the word of God should be very live. We have to have that down pack in our head, because that word is our source, it's our power, it's our guidance, it's our knowledge of how to live. Because God did appoint, anoint, and then send Jesus to be high priest over our words of faith. He is responsible for bringing our words to pass. It is our responsibility to speak forth the word of God and claim the promises God has spoken to us in his word. See, you are positional. All things are out. But we must bring them into manifestation by confessing them in the physical world. For once we speak forth faith-filled words, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:4-5 that Jesus will enrich them with his anointing. You got to take authority over your situation. It tells you in Romans 11:23-24, it says, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass. And then it says, he shall have whatsoever he said, because I, therefore, I say unto you, what things whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Whatever you and I receive from God, we receive it by confession. Our confession, the words that we speak every day, it determines all that we will ever receive from God, whether it's salvation, whether it's healing, whether it's peace, whether it's financial increase. You see, Jesus did not instruct us to talk about the mountain, but rather talk to the mountain. Faith will move mountains. And when it's released with the word of your mouth, the mountain will move. You should have whatsoever you say. And another thing that many of us not consciously aware of, controlling our thoughts. In order to control our mouth, we must first control our thoughts. Because right and wrong thinking is the basis for controlling our words. It's the simplest principle, yet it's the most difficult area in our lives to discipline. And then we wonder why the enemy is able to come in and move in and overtake things and cause us havoc in our lives. And that's only because our mind, we have those evil thoughts of doubt, fear, and discouragement. And so the enemy will come in and he will prevent us from receiving all that God has for us because our mind is thinking of all the attributes of the devil. We're not thinking on the good things of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we are to cast down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Bible speaks of thought, it speaks of imagination, and it speaks of strongholds. And the thought coming into one mind is the initial data, original idea. Because after the thought arrives, one must decide what to do with it. And if you continue to dwell on the thought, it turns into imagination or image. And if you imagine too long, the imagination turns into a stronghold and start controlling your life. Someone may ask, where do thoughts come from? Well, thoughts can come from one of three places. It can come from your five senses. It can come from the devil, or it can come from the Holy Spirit. The devil and your five senses operate through your mind, while God operates through your spirit. Romans 8:7 says the natural mind alone cannot know God, for God speaks to you through your spirit, and your spirit speaks to your mind. Well, the natural mind can utilize these thoughts. It depends on whether or not one mind is renewed by the word of God. That's why we have to have a renewed mind. We as Christians, we face a constant power struggle. While we have the word of God coming into our heart, the devil is putting thoughts into our mind, and he's putting thoughts against the knowledge of God. So it's our job to cast down this wrong thinking. Perhaps you have cast them down so many times that you feel it's a useless battle, and you can't, or you don't feel that you should live the rest of your life fighting. Well, let me tell you something. If you give up, you have one or two choices. Either you want to live the life God has planned for you, or you want to let the devil kill you and everything in you. I want to encourage you tonight to choose life. The problems never come to stay. It's only temporal, and you might speak to the situation. You must shift your thoughts. You must take authority. You must take dominion over everything that's not of God. And how you do that, you keep wrestling with those bad thoughts, but instead replace them with good thoughts. Because you can reprogram your mind with the word of God. And anything that comes against the word of God will be cast down. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 23, as a man thinking in his heart, so is he. And this is a spiritual principle which can never be broken. It always works. Much like the law of sowing and reaping. I want you to understand tonight, and I want to encourage you to let you know God has a great plan for your life. He tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, and the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Even though God's plan for you is good, you must believe it to receive it, and then you must confess it. We must be careful not to hinder those plans by what we think. Because if you allow the devil to occupy your mind with his thoughts for you, then he's able to build up a stronghold against a good plan that God has for you. Because thoughts are the seed planted in the garden of the mind. We need to be good stewards and sow good thoughts in order to reap the full harvest of what God intends for us to have. And what's according to his word. And I like that scripture in Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's a good pattern to form in our mind. That's a good pattern for us to follow. Because we can sit all day long and think about the bad things, even the things that's happening to you. You have to reverse that and think positive on it. You got to find a way to flip that thing. You got to find a way to say, well, the doctor say I ain't gonna make it, but the Bible says I shall live and I shall not die. You got to flip that thing. You got to speak the positive, even if it don't look good. You got to speak the positive. And you got to walk in line with the word of God. And we need to understand, you can't just pick one word out of the verse, such as whatsoever things are true, and not walk in line with the rest of the verse. We need to take it all. And our thoughts should be all the godly attributes listed in this verse. And we must speak good things. Because if we don't, we will destroy everything that we have desire of what we have a dream of. And that's the destruction of an untamed tongue. Amen. Closing in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, the Most High, we honor you, dear God, because you are the creator of this earth. We acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we just want to thank you for the presence in this word. And we pray, dear God, that your word be go forth. And Father, before we go on, I want to offer salvation to anyone that do not know you by the pardon of their sins, that you are their Savior. Lord, that they will surrender their soul to you, that you will cleanse them and forgive them their sins and make them whole. Father, I ask that you take control of our tongues and let us speak life in people's lives. Let us speak life in our own lives. Lord, whatever we encounter each day, God, let us speak those positive things. Let us be able to turn that thing around and let it work for our good. Lord, let us be obedient to you and to live solely for you every day. Lord, I pray you will open our minds to happy thoughts so that we can make it possible to feel nothing but joy, love, and compassion. Lord, we're going to put all our trust in you. And we believe in our heart, soul, and mind that all struggles in the present and the future have already been defeated. Father, we thank you that our enemies who try to rise up against us will be defeated, that they shall come one way and they shall flee before us seven ways. I cover every blessing, every desire, every fruitful and prosperous blessing in the blood of Jesus for everyone that's listening under the sound of my voice and those that will listen in iTunes later. And I pray, dear God, that it is sealed by the blood. Father, I thank you for every person that has received this word on today, that they will let it continue to minister to them. May all the days of their life be blessed forever. In the mighty name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen, amen. I thank God for the word that went forth. And as I sit here and minister, I'm in so much pain. But you know what? I'm not going to let that derail what I'm doing because I got to persevere. I got work to do. I don't have time to deal with the tricks and the ins and the outs of the enemy that's trying to hinder me in doing the work of the Lord. So I speak over my body right now, and I tell that pain, it must go. It doesn't belong here. Because I'm sitting here listening to the word of God is trying to distract me from doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But I just give God the praise that I'm able to sit here and defeat and to embrace the word of God regardless of what condition or situation is before me. What I want to do, I want to open up the phone line. Maybe someone may have something they want to share. And that person in the chat room, oh, they're gone. Oh, well, bless them. I hope they stayed long enough to hear this word out. But I'm going to open up the phone lines, and the call-in number is 323-792-2979. If you press 1, I can bring you the 2. And you can share the word of God. Or if you have something you want to add, you can add it to this word. And if not, I just want to say God bless you. May God keep you. May your week be pleasantly fruitful and prosperous. May peace overtake you and keep you. And We're having very pleasant weather here in Houston. We're finally getting a little of our fall weather, and it's really, really good night. And I pray for the people in California with the fires, and I pray that the fire will cease, because so many people are losing things. You know, nobody really want to talk about it. Nobody's probably not even thinking about it. But we got so much tragedy. We had Harvey here. We had Puerto Rico. We had Florida. And overseas, we had bombings and mudslides and earthquakes, and we got the fire in California. But when you really think about it, all of that means something. And it's playing something. And we are just not paying attention. And sometimes things have to happen to get people attention. And I know a lot of people may be criticize me for saying what I'm saying. But it's all the signs of the time. It's all the signs of the time. And if you don't think that you need to pay attention and get your life in order, then you are in a delusion, because it's not no playing time. It's not no I'm a play and I'm gonna play with God and I'm gonna play with people's feelings and all this hatred and prejudice, and you know, it's time out for that. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It distinctly tells us, if my people who are called by my name will turn from their wickedness and seek my face, and then they can hear from heaven, and I will heal the land. And we got to understand that God is saying that we must come together, we must unite, and the churches need to start light it up, because it all started with the church. So when Jesus comes back, he's coming back for the bride. It's time to stop playing. It's time to stop having these little petty this and that. It's time for us to understand who God is. It's time for us to say, okay, God is the creator and we the creature. We are not greater than him. And because of God's mercy and grace, it's the only reason why things are not more turmoil-y than what they are. The earth is bleeding and crying. It's crying for things to line up. And I'm just going to leave that alone, and I just had to say that, because the more that I look at things, the more that God is saying they just not getting it. They just not getting it. And don't say for 1 minute God is pleased, because he's not. So I don't have no hand raised in the chat room. That person has left, so I can just close down the chat room. Actually, I'm about to close down this Bible study, and I'm going to play a song and close out. But in the meantime, I just want to bless you with the love of God, and bless you with good health, bless you that every need is met financially, in peace and joy and prosperity. And be fruitful and multiply, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be fruitful. And if we are fruitful, then we can witness to that one somebody, and that one somebody will witness to somebody. And, you know, the fruits of our labor is what God wants. He wants to see the fruits of our labor. So it never hurts to just tell someone Jesus loves you. And sometimes that's a way to break the ice to witness to that person. So sometimes people want to hear about Jesus. There's not enough people telling them about Jesus. If nobody tells them about Jesus, how will they ever know Jesus? But anyway, I don't mean to preach all over again. And I just want to say, this is Prophet Shirley Payne with Linda Walker Jesus Ministry. And I just want to say blessings to you and peace unto you. And please do come back again. And God bless you for joining me tonight. And I'm going to go out with this song, Victory by Ty Tibbett. And you just have a good night.
Yeah! Let's go!